Hello, America, and to the rest of our listeners around the world. You're listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend. This episode is for January 27th, 2017. Going to be our last show of the month. Next time you hear us, it will be February, and I will probably be 31.
We just kind of cut right really through this month, didn't we?
Yeah, or at least really close to it.
Yeah.
As always, of course, I'm joined by Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi.
Good. Hi, guys. Evening.
Hello.
So, here's a quick joke for you. What's translucent and lying in a ditch?
I don't know.
Richard Spencer after he gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Comedy. Yes, we know, you know what we're talking about, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more in a little bit later. We're also going to be talking about some other shit that's been going down, including the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists have moved their famous doomsday clock closer to midnight than it's been since the Cuban Missile Crisis. We also have a celebrity death, we found out some new things about the next Star Wars movie, and then we're going to be talking about, well, something that if you're a vintage arcade cabinet collector, you'll probably know all about. But if you're not now, but thinking about getting it, you might want to listen to what we have to say because, well, you'll see. So, with that said, Bill, what have you been up to this week?
Well, other than just watching the shit show on Facebook, I've been listening to The Republic of Thieves, which is a really good book and probably longer than it really needs to be because it's basically telling two different stories in parallel, but it's like half the story is a flashback and the other half is happening present day. So, yeah, I don't know if that was really necessary, but they kind of complement each other. So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So I'm about, I don't know, 40% of the way through that book and I'm really enjoying it. So it'll be that. Been on the gaming side, I've been playing Diablo 3 some more. More Defense Grid 2 because, well, it was on my dashboard there. And it's like, well, I'll fire that up for some. And 3 hours later. Yeah, that happens. I also got into the beta for the new dashboard. So I can talk a little bit about that on Days That Are Update because it's interesting stuff going on there. But yeah, that's kind of the gaming front. Other than that, catching up on the Grand Tour. This week is the season finale, so I'm looking forward to later tonight when I get to finally watch that last episode. Yeah. Last week was one of their cheap car challenges, so you know, at least they're getting that in there now. I kind of missed those. So yeah, Grand Tour, still excellent, still very much worth, you know, if you can subscribe to Amazon to get it, otherwise, well, you know, it's available.
It's out there.
Yeah, elsewhere. And I've been listening to a crap ton of music. You know, found Nightingale because, well, Brandon mentioned it the other week, and I've been listening to it, and now I hate Brandon because now I'm going to have to buy all the albums, so...
I regret nothing.
Nor should you.
That could be the slogan of our show.
Regret nothing. Yeah. So that's a bunch of good albums there. I've been listening to Cornelius's Phantasma because it's just balls out strange. Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to check that one out. It's like, I don't know. It does remind me of the Jet Set Radio soundtrack and kind of makes me wonder whether or not he was involved in its production. Wouldn't surprise me too much. I'll have to research that a bit.
Well, there are a few he's you could be referring to.
Yeah, well, Cornelius in particular.
Oh.
So there's that. And, you know, a bunch of records here and there. I listened to them Crooked Vultures on vinyl because it was good. Alan Parsons Project, Eye in the Sky, because that's also awesome. You know, just the regular rotation of stuff until I get some of the Data Disc soundtracks in, which hopefully will come in the next couple of weeks. I do want that Panzer Dragoon soundtrack.
Yes.
Very much yes. So that's been it for me. How about you guys?
All right, what about you, Pat?
Well, I got the alert literally minutes before we went live that my RAM has got here. So I'll be doing the upgrade immediately after the show.
Okay.
And at that point, I'm going to be crazy with a lot of writing and a lot of work. Just, technically, you know, we're doing Let's Weekend here. It's the very start of my days off, but they're not going to be days off this week. I've got a lot of stuff to crank out, and I look forward to doing it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've just, as I think was noted last week and on the Day Zero update, I've been sick as hell again.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just basically been quaffing ginger ale to try and mitigate the effects of that.
Yeah.
To some degree of success, I'm happy to say. I'm still probably going to sound like hell throughout the episode, especially as it wears on. But, I have a job where at least half of the work is talking on the phone with utility providers. So if I don't sound like utter shit yet, then maybe I'll get away with it for the rest of the night.
Yeah. Awesome.
All righty then. What about you, Chris?
So I watched Captain America Civil War, which was pretty good, though a little bit disappointing in that that whole story arc in the comics is huge. And they kind of condense it and shrink it down to like a typical MCU adventure-style movie.
Mm-hmm. The MCU wasn't really big enough at that point to pull off a story arc like that.
Yeah. And sort of I can tell that the physical realities of bringing in all these actors and characters was not going to work. But so they made the best of sort of the real-world realities of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's sort of a, hey, here's this comic arc that affected pretty much everybody in the Marvel universe, and here it only affects like 12 of them. Everybody else is like, oh yeah, Hulk's somewhere, we don't know. And all these other people, and they kind of divorce some of the political aspects of that whole arc as well.
So yeah, see, that's the problem with trying to make something that was literally was a cultural event when it happened.
Yeah.
The Marvel Civil War was really the first time in a long time that, you know, the mainstream media really started paying attention to stuff that was going on in comics at the time.
Yeah.
And you're trying to to squish all that down into a single movie, which in and of itself is in a cinematic universe that's already not terribly big. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's as far as just being a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's pretty good. It's good. It's another good Captain America movie that continues that as being probably the secret best sort of series of all the Marvel Cinematic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As all three have been really good.
Mm.
I just kind of wish they maybe pulled a Lord of the Rings on this, sort of tried to extend it out into a couple of movies. Even away from like, here's Captain America Civil War, here's Iron Man Civil War, here's, you know, whoever else would be like a potential like leading character.
Yeah.
To sort of center it around. Which is sort of how when I got the comics, it was literally done like that. Like, here's the first like set of volumes is all Spider-Man led and then moves to the others, as that's how they're sort of packaged.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it definitely could have done that better, but as far as managing the realities of making a Hollywood movie that's done as probably as well as it can. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Black Panther movie when they get that going, because that character is pretty cool. I've also been getting back into Game of Thrones. I finished the second book a while ago. I've been working on the third and decided to watch the first two seasons, sort of see how Everything I remember from the books was done in the show. Like, the first season's pretty much spot on. Second season, they just cut off huge chunks of it. It's just like the whole part of Arya getting out of the city after her father's head is beheaded. And getting to Harrenhal is basically shortened real fast. It's like, oh, they're on the way to the wall. They get ransacked, and then she's taken directly to Harrenhal.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's not doing any of the slavery work. She's immediately promoted to cupbearer for Tywin Lannister pretty quickly.
Mm.
It's like, oh, they just cut out all of this. Which is good. That stuff is kind of plotting in the book, where they just get way too verbose on some of these parts of the story. And she's like, come on, I get what you're saying. They walked. We don't need to hear about every single step of the way, but yeah, I'm right on the very last episode of season two, and I'm going to start watching season three to give me sort of an idea of what to compare the book to as I'm reading through that.
Yeah.
But what I'm liking about book three is that they are introducing new voices.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately you get, like, Jaime Lannister, his part of it, which is good as on his way towards King's Landing, not knowing anything that happened with Brienne. Though in the story, one of the other Lannister cousins is accompanying them, but in the show, it's just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no third person there. Yeah, so far it's good. Looking forward to watching and reading the rest of that. As far as games, still playing more Picross E7. I am nearing the end of the main set of puzzles. I still have after that Mega Picross, and I think some of the bonus stuff. Still got quite a bit to go. I had a couple of puzzles that were just annoying the hell out of me.
Because
it seemed like they gave me not enough information to figure it out without just obsessing about the puzzle for way too long. I ended up just making a guess on a couple parts, and then that ended up leading me to finishing it. So, that's pretty good.
Hmm.
Playing more Gravity Rush 2, I finally got to the big city. That intro to the game is not great. It's just slow and sort of introducing you to your powers.
Yeah.
Sort of in the service of setting up the story. But when it takes like 3 hours to get going on that, they maybe could have shortened it a bit more.
Yeah.
It's all, oh, you got your powers now. Here's some of these people you didn't know or didn't really care about. We're going to flesh them out a bit more. Then, oh, we got to get to the story, and here's the big city, and I'm going to go fly around the big city because it's like Crackdown. There's millions of these gems all around the city. So I got to go fly around and get these. Like, what story? No, I got to get these gems.
Too busy getting gems.
Yeah. The only bad part about the gems is that the way they render them, they don't render them until you're pretty close to them. So there's oftentimes like, oh, I can't see anything. I spend probably a little bit more time than I would like just flying closer to some of these. So if you don't know, the city is basically all floating chunks of land with buildings built on them.
Yeah.
This weird kind of pseudo Final Fantasy airship sort of thing. Where it's like somehow large chunks of the city is just floating in the sky, and somehow these people get around. I don't know. My character, Kat, is a gravity shifter and can sort of not really fly, because when you go zipping around, she is pretty much in like a weird falling animation the entire time. So it's not graceful at all unless you're going to like the super speed flying, where she suddenly regains composure and sort of flies like she's Iron Man or something like that. But the rest of the time, it's all just her just flipping around like she's falling, which is basically what you're doing, because you're setting a new down like a downward gravity force.
Yeah.
So she's kind of just falling in that direction.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty good so far. I've been doing most of the side stuff I can. They have warp points on the map, like these special sewer covers, manhole covers that you find that allow you to like zip around the map, but I just like flying around, so I just do that instead.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. And I had a little bit of what's coming up spoiled for me from the trophies, which suggests we're going to actually get to the city from the original game as well. So there's going to be tons of stuff to collect there as well. So that's like Crackdown, Japanese Crackdown, basically, which is not bad.
Yeah.
There's no beeping like you get when you get near orbs.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that, but the sight of those gems is pretty much that same effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm on this way anyway, I'm just going to stop over here and get all these orbs, these gems.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes later, oh yeah, I got to get back over there. And I started up The Witcher 3, the complete edition. Played for a few hours and had a weird bug on one of the side quests. This was the quest with near a swamp where you find a guy that says his caravan has been ransacked and he's lost a box.
Hmm.
You should go get it, and you know you figure out he's lied about it. He's just killed all of his people. And when you confront him with that, he runs off with his horse. You're supposed to go chase him. While it was loading, my controller just starts shaking. And when it reappears, there are a bunch of wolves attacking me. So it's like, well, I can't get on my horse, I don't think, and chase after him, so I'm fighting these horses, and he gets away. Because these wolves just decided somehow to show up, interrupt this whole quest. So I failed it, and I was kind of pissed. I decided to just let it go. I don't know if I'll find him later, and I can just gut him then. Maybe, I don't know. But, yeah, so far so good on that. I am picking up too much stuff. I'm just going through, like, fields and like, just pick this up, this up, and this up. I'm not doing anything with them yet, but I'll stockpile them for later. Because obviously I'm going to get around to using this stuff or not.
I don't know what I will do with a plowshare, but what the hell.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one of the quests where you go pick around in a field after a big battle happened. I thought I was picking up weapons. Turns out I wasn't. Didn't let me keep them. It's like, I could sell all these for some money. It's like, nope. Ah, screw that. I guess the other thing I've been doing this week is I got a new phone. My original one cracked. Like the millionth time I dropped it, finally cracked the screen. So I had to get a new one. And still working on getting used to it, because this one is able to actually handle one of the newer firmware for Android.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, wait a minute, how do I get this back to what I remember doing?
Hmm. What did you get?
It's a Motorola Moto G 4.
Okay.
I had the original Moto G.
Hmm.
So I was like, holy crap, this is way bigger, it's way thinner. The power button has ridges on it, which is weird. But it's so you can tell the difference between it and the volume buttons that are right next to it.
Yeah,
I actually have storage. I have 16 gigs on this instead of 8.
Yeah.
So I can actually have room for things. Like, I'm not just constantly managing storage space.
Yeah. I think it has an SD card, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably put something in there later. Just not right now. But, yeah, that's been it. How about you, Brandon?
Still playing Witcher 3. That's been my primary gaming for right now. I'm probably, when I get a chance tomorrow, I'm going to go to GameStop and get Tales of Berseria. but
that one snuck up on us.
Yeah. So one of the things about, well, I would say that something I've noticed, but I noticed this back when I was playing it, back when it originally came out. Witcher 3 is a surprisingly timely game when you realize that the game is basically about some vaguely Slavic country somewhere in Eastern that looks vaguely Slavic-like country and a place that's vaguely like medieval Eastern Europe getting invaded by an empire where all the names sound suspiciously Russian. That's the Nilfgaards. So like by the time when you start Witcher 3, so one of the things that happens in Witcher 2, Assassin of Kings, towards the end of it, is that you learn that the Nilfgaardian Empire, which is this big giant empire that's to the north of Temeria, where a lot of the game takes place at, is getting ready to invade Temeria, and when you're in Witcher 3, the invasion has already happened. They've already came in. They've already took over. They basically rule the place now. Yeah. And they're basically a good chunk. A lot of what you end up seeing in the game is them basically doing shit like, you know, requisitioning food from the villagers, you know, executing members of the old order. So, like, there's a tree that you come across, and it's basically, you know, there's just a bunch of, you know, corpses hanging from nooses. Hmm. And it's a pretty, I mean, it is really bleak.
Yeah.
It is, I said it many times back when I was originally playing it, and I'll say it again. If The Witcher does one thing, it shows that living in a type of sort of hype, sort of epic fantasy universe, if you were actually a regular person just living there, be pretty freaking horrifying.
Yeah, I love the way Geralt is just nonplussed about whatever's going on. He's like, whatever with your bullshit. I gotta figure out what to do about this griffin.
Yeah. Well, you gotta remember, he's a witcher, so he's had the emotion, the quote-unquote, his emotions taken out of him. So he kind of...
Except when he wants to fuck.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between, you know, having emotions and, you know, wanting to get your dick wet. So,
yeah.
I
don't know. He's got to have emotions when he's doing it on a unicorn, stuffed unicorn.
Yeah.
Like, you put some serious thought into that.
Yeah. The unicorn.
Well, maybe it's just been a while.
Yeah. The unicorn is actually from one of the books. Yeah. Pretty sure it's from, I think, the third one. Yeah, it's a unicorn that, if I remember correctly, it was a hunt. It was killed during a hunting trip, and Geralt and Yennefer had it stuffed, and they use it as a bed sometimes. But
so the context does not change.
Nope. No, not at all.
I think the books have started coming out in English now, haven't they?
Most of them are actually in English now. There's like, I think, 8 or 9 of them, and 6 of them so far have been released in English. So,
yeah, no, some of them show up on Amazon's like deal of the day for Kindle stuff every once in a while. So if you want to read them, get them on the cheap.
Yeah,
that's a good way to get some of them. I don't know what order they're in.
They'll tell you.
Yeah,
I think I bought them. I think I bought them before they put all that stuff in there.
Yeah. Basically, the way to read the Witcher books is the first book is a story collection that sort of ties into what's called the quote-unquote Witcher Saga, which is the cycle of 8 books that come afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the original sort of main characters make their first appearance in that first book. Also, there's kind of a weird sort of, well, I wouldn't say weird, sort of a tone change, because the original stories were basically meant to be like sort of deconstructions of like old Grimm's fairy tales.
Yeah.
You know, like there's deconstructions of like Snow White and Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella and stuff like that, but like in a really darkly funny way.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the dude in Beauty and the Beast, his name is Novelin, and, no, Novelin, that's his name, and, basically he ends up getting turned into a beast because he ran around with a group of, brigands, shall we say, and, his very, when he was a little kid, and, his very, unlikable comrades in brigandry basically forced him to sexually assault this one woman who managed to put, who was a half elf and managed to put a curse on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes a beast. But, and basically the quote unquote beauty is this one chick that he, some random noble's daughter that he keeps with him for about a year before he sets him loose. And they don't really want to go anywhere because apparently he's rather nice and also a really good lay. So,
okay.
Witcher. Remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just anybody who's curious, the Witcher games are actually the sequel to the Witcher books. Yeah. So,
yeah, we got a great gaming series that's based on books.
Isn't there canonness in question too?
Well, Sapkowski has always said that the book, the sequel, the way that the sequel to the books is something you can either take or leave. Because like the Witcher book series itself is done and has been for pretty much before 2005. So he's working on other stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's one thing. Also been getting back into anime again. I used some of my gift card, Best Buy gift cards that I got from Christmas, and I went and bought the first DVD Blu-ray collection for Vision of Escaflowne. Classic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
God damn, everybody in that anime has such noses too.
Yeah. Very very, very old style.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also from Amazon I got the DVD collection for another anime I've been wanting to watch for a long time called Lost Universe, which for those who don't know, it's anybody who's a fan of Slayers, Hajime Kanzaka, the creator of Slayers. The guy who wrote the original series of books that Slayers is based on, he also wrote another series called Lost Universe, which is sort of his vision of the sci-fi, you know, genre. Only, you know, it's still got the sort of comedic, you know, approach that Slayers has.
Yeah.
So I've been watching that. And of course, I'm still exercising, still going out and walking every day. I'm proud to say I've started developing some very well-defined calf muscles.
Nice.
Yeah. Like I can actually flex them and like, yeah, there they are. I'm not going to post anything on Instagram or anything because I'm not a conceited asshole, but you know, I'm not going to start, you know, flexing in front of the camera and start talking about, you know, the feminist conspiracy and whiny betas or whatever.
Yeah.
He'd fit in real well if he just started doing that.
Yeah.
But he would die a little inside every time he did.
Yeah.
So I could even do like the Golden One does and just start, you know, showing me doing a playthrough of me Skyrim and basically saying, you know, every time I kill someone, I'm like, oh, this is a male feminist. This is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Mix Skyrim great again. I'm not making any of this shit up, by the way.
Oh, I know.
But anyway, so that's what I've been up to. Does anybody have anything else they want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Okay, then. Well, I guess this is time yet again for another episode. Well, another segment. Everybody's favorite segment, Brandon's Random Factoids. And so who here grew up, when they were kids, they grew up playing Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
With their family.
Yeah.
Now, did you play the house rules?
Usually, we just played the stock rules, yeah.
Yeah, did it drive you freaking crazy?
Yeah.
Does it seem to go on for so forever? Forever and ever, and...
But it has no real win state.
Well,
just keep playing and bubbling up resentment for each other until usually somebody picks up the table.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about Monopoly. That's kind of by design. So what you need to know is that what we call Monopoly actually can be traced back to another earlier board game from 1903, which was created by a woman named Elizabeth J. Maggie Phillips. Now, Elizabeth Phillips was a hardcore, quote-unquote, anti-monopolist. Because remember, this was the Gilded Age, and monopolies were basically a given.
Mm.
Yeah.
And she was also a major follower of a gentleman by the name of Henry George. Henry George was a economist who believed in giving what was called the single tax on land, which was basically all taxation would be reduced down. Well, this was from him, but his followers didn't necessarily go along with just this sole idea. The idea was to take all taxes and to single it down into a single progressive tax on land. So that, and the idea that since everybody uses land, because, you know, we have to walk on it, then therefore it's common property and everybody should, you know, pay into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is sort of kind of goes out to, like, because Henry George was also a member of the International Working Men's Association, which, as you don't know, that's also the organization that Karl Marx was the head of back in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of goes into the whole, you know, labor and socialism and all that stuff that was going on back then.
Yeah.
Now, point of the game, as she originally called it, and which, by the way, back then it was called the Landlord's Game, which she self-published back in 1906. Now, there was basically two sets of rules that she had for the game. There was one called the Anti-Monopolist and the Monopolist. You can take a wild guess which one sort of made its way over to what we would eventually call Monopoly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the anti-monopolist rules reward all during wealth creation, while the monopolist rules had the goal of forming monopolies and forcing opponents out of the game. Now, you know that part about the anti-monopolist rule of rewarding all during wealth creation? What does that sound like?
It kind of sounds like communism.
Yep. And the other?
Capitalism.
Yes. A win in the anti-monopolist or single tax version, which she would also call the prosperity game later on, was when the player would have the lowest monetary amount when the player having the lowest monetary amount had doubled his original stake.
Hmm.
Now the monopolist ones are the ones that we know of, which is trying to basically control all of as many of the spaces on the board as possible and getting all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the monopolist part of the rules was intentionally made to be as combative and abrasive as possible because she was trying to make a point. Mm. You could actually, and when the game was actually, when the game, she published it professionally, she actually had chance cards. Everybody knows what the chance cards are in Monopoly, right?
Yeah.
These would, in the original version, had quotes that were attributed to the likes of John Ruskin, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Carnegie, et cetera, et cetera.
They had flavor text.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then she later editions would change some of the property names and the rule for increased rent for multiple railroad ownership also increased. Now, unfortunately, when the game was published, the creator, Miss Maggie, originally had actually patented the game, but Patton actually, because remember, this is before, you know, the Walt Disney Studios got their greedy little hands all over our patent system. So at this point, so the patent expired in 1923. And then what happened was that a gentleman by the name of Charles Darrow came across an old copy of this game, modified the rules somewhat, you know, to make it into the more, to what's more along the lines of what we have now. And then he sold it to Parker Brothers.
And made a killing.
And made tons and tons of money. And by the 1970s, Miss Maggie was all for forgotten, and Charles Darrow was considered to be the original and sole creator of Monopoly. It was even printed in the instruction manual. So, yeah. So if you've ever wondered why it is that Monopoly makes you want to kill your family,
it's by design.
It's by design. That, ladies and gentlemen, is another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now you're less dumb.
Yep. So now, do not pass go. Let's go directly to the asshole of the week.
Yeah. Not pass go. Not collect $200. All the stuff that goes with it. So for this week's asshole of the week, we're basically just calling it the League of Extraordinary Imbeciles.
Yeah.
All right. So we're not really going to go into any of these, any single one of these in detail, because honestly, they all kind of tie together.
It's the lightning round.
Yeah. So, everybody knows, Donald Trump officially became our president on January 20th.
Yep.
He's been president for about a week now, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. he's only been president for 6 days. Really, who just wants to go first?
We had low expectations going into this, and he managed to go
way low,
way under. He's playing limbo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's at the point now where he's basically, his back is on the floor, and he's just
wiggling
underneath the pole, basically.
Yeah. So let's just go through these quickly.
Yeah, by the way, before we get any further, I should probably point out something that has been sort of a misconception that a lot of people don't realize. Executive orders are not actually a law.
No.
It's sort of the start.
Yeah.
You're trying to get that stuff going.
Yeah. You know, the thing you have to remember is, of course, this being a democratic republic, you know, a president can't just make laws up by decree. He has to go through Congress first. And
nobody told him that, apparently.
No, because he's been writing them out pretty quickly. He's set up.
The only thing that's been true about the things he's been saying is he's actually acting on most of the stuff he's been saying.
Yeah.
Whether it's good for anybody, probably not.
Yeah.
But I guess his base will be happy that he's starting on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. He is definitely setting on getting the wall built.
Yep.
And we're gonna pay it for it.
Yep.
20% tax on Mexican goods.
Make us pay more for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't figure out how to get Mexico to pay for it. Because every president, current and past, has said, fuck you, Trump.
Yep.
Like we were supposed to even have a
meeting.
It's
been a lot of fun to watch.
Like we were supposed to have a meeting and that got canceled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're not even talking.
Yeah. Let's see. There was the recently signed an order basically banning immigration from refugees from Syria, as well as some other countries. Various Middle Eastern countries, although if you pay close attention, you'll notice that none of those countries are places where he has business in.
Of course not.
Yep.
Mm.
There's his whole voter fraud thing he's going in on hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're already president, douchebag.
He wants to delegitimize it himself by saying there's lots of fraud. Oh, you think all 100% of them voted for Hillary?
Yeah.
None of them voted for you? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do a full investigation.
Yeah. Also, he has installed a hiring freeze, which, you know, whatever, but at the same time, he's wanting to hire, I think, a few thousand more Border Patrol guards.
Hmm.
I think that's wires crossed there.
There's a whole bunch of abortion stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Barring insurance coverage for abortion here in the U.S.
Yeah.
As well as abroad, supporting that stuff. Across the world, so...
Yeah. Let's see, there's the...
I guess there's supposed to be a pro-life march today.
Yeah, the March for Life. I think
supposedly
Vice President Mike Pence is supposed to actually address that.
The thing is, as ominous pro-life isn't really pro-life, it's anti-choice.
Yeah. Also... But at least one good thing, he got us out of the TPP... So there's that.
Yeah. But, you know, a stop clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
That's like one out of 20 so far.
Yeah. He's going in hard trying to get the DAPL pipeline built again.
Yeah.
And, God, let's see. And then there's that whole... Because he won't let it go for some reason. That whole thing with the size of the crowd on his inauguration.
That was his first speech post winning.
Yeah.
Or post inauguration.
Yeah.
Was to go to the CIA headquarters right in front of the big wall where they honor all of the fallen agents.
Mm-hmm.
And he's complaining about people comparing the sizes of the crowd. With Obama's.
Now, to be fair, and I do need to point this out, to be fair, they're using the photo from Obama's inauguration in 2008, and you do have to remember that Obama's inauguration was a historic event.
Yeah.
Well, Trump's saying this was a historic event.
No, he's not historic.
He's
a middle-aged old white, an old white guy. We've had a lot of those as presidents.
Yeah.
You see the part where they were complaining about the coverings for the thing there was the thing that was causing the problems, even though the Obama picture also has coverings?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see, what else?
Oh, they just made it people-colored on Obama's thing instead of white.
Yeah. And then, of course, it turned out that the Women's March, which we will be talking about a little bit later, dwarfed the crowd of his inauguration quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he won't stop complaining about it.
Yeah, because he's got an ego that's just... Yeah.
That's his apprentice.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Part of his mind where it's ratings, ratings, ratings.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that the optics aren't in his favor.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Which means that we have to see a lot of Sean Spicer...
Yeah.
Lying and...
No, nope, they're not lies. They're alternative facts.
Somebody call Merriam-Webster.
I like that first thing he had where he's just basically reciting everything that Trump has told him to say.
Yeah.
And he fully knows that it's bullshit.
It's complete bullshit. Yeah.
But I like that people have dug into his Twitter account and found out he's an anime fan. He's a cosplayer.
Sean Spicer. Yeah. And he's also got a weird vendetta against Dipping Dot for
whatever reason.
Like, he's had an ongoing hatred or feud with them for, like, 20 years.
Okay, I saw something about Dipping Dot. I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, clowns are freaky, you know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Steve Bannon was recently telling the media to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. First Amendment?
Nope.
Everybody in the government's allowed to be criticized.
Yep.
And covered.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, the good thing so far is that people like Jake Tapper and Chuck Todd have been very much bringing that up constantly to whoever from the Trump administration is on their show.
Yeah.
We've still got the six political prisoners from the inauguration rallies.
Hmm. Yep, they're currently the six journalists. They're currently still detained. There is Kellyanne Conway, and yes, she's the one who finally basically coined the term, for better or worse, alternative facts.
No, those are lies.
Yeah, they're very much
lies. Those are lies.
There's no alternative facts. Facts are things you cannot unprove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you've read Orwell, it's also known as doublespeak.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or double thing. Mm. Or
everything I see of her is like video of her explaining things, like her trying to explain away the wall.
Yeah.
Is hilarious. Like, it's going to keep all those drugs and the people out. I was like, no, they'll find any other way. Like, that's,
it's really not that hard to dig.
There's lots of water
the wall,
around
dude.
The country. They can just boat right in.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean,
how do you think all those Cubans get in? Mm. They don't go through Mexico.
Nope.
I mean, you've seen the border that Texas and Arizona shares with Mexico, right? There's, you know, the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's not the, can't really wall that up.
It's like trying to protect your house by locking the back door and leaving everything else open.
Yeah.
Like, look, I understand and really do get the idea of wanting a secure border, but that wall isn't going to do shit.
No.
It's basically security theater.
It's a waste of our money.
Yeah, well, security theater is something that...
Remember when they shut down, trying to shut down...
Extraordinary waste of money.
Yeah.
National Endowment for the Arts that was making... It cost about $140 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This wall could potentially cost up to $20 billion.
Yeah.
20 or 30, actually. Yeah. A lot. And Steve Bannon, who, by the way, we should remember, is the dude from Breitbart, who basically turned a admittedly already kind of sleazy conservative news site into basically the home of the alt-right.
Yeah.
The man is notoriously anti-Semitic, and...
Is it too early to call him the propaganda minister at this point?
I mean, we're calling him Goebbels?
Yeah.
That would be Conway.
Hmm.
Well, apparently from some of the rogue accounts that are, because Trump's administration has basically banned all of these public accounts on Twitter that share news and findings and all that, banned them all from posting again.
And then a bunch of the those agencies have just rebelled and are starting to...
they've gone rogue.
Yeah, they've started tweeting this stuff in their private time.
Yeah.
And it's like stuff here about Priebus, Bannon as well. Office Pool quietly taking bets on how long it takes Priebus and Bannon to turn into Holyfield versus Tyson.
Yeah.
This is the Rogue POTUS account. Rogue POTUS staff. They have another one about Bannon. Bannon apparently hunting for heretics. Confirmed. Is aware of this count. Actively trying to identify us. Hashtag unholy trinity. Maybe losing grip. They apparently had somebody figured out the email for the account was trying to reset the password.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they were getting a bunch of emails about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was 1 week, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All over the span of about 6 or 7 days.
Yeah.
Overheard through locked door. Quote, don't they know I'm the effing president? That's end quote. POTUS displeased at resistance.
President, not dictator. Get that straight.
This is what happens when you elect someone who couldn't pass a civics class.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, quick question. I don't know about you, but who here thinks that Trump probably isn't going to last till summer.
Oh, at this point, I don't give him 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. But personally, I'm actually glad that he's going full fascist right away. He skipped the whole lulling the public into a false sense of security step.
Yeah.
So now there's a sizable amount of people that have been lulled for a year or two now.
Mm-hmm.
Just defending it every turn.
Yeah. Unfortunately, even they're going to have to start seeing the, writing on the wall at some point.
Yeah, when you get Shia LaBeouf and Jaden Smith setting up this weird live stream for the next 4 years where people can go in New York to sort of talk and just prove that Trump will not divide the people.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he got arrested for potentially assaulting somebody.
Yeah, apparently some dude said Hitler did nothing wrong, and Shia LaBeouf shoved him.
As he should.
Yeah.
Well, probably too tame of a response to a Nazi.
Yeah.
But
there are something. Also, at this point, I lost my train of thought. Whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway, on to our heroes of the week, which, of course, was the Women's March, which dwarfed Trump's inauguration by quite a large margin.
And just about anything else.
Yeah.
And
it seemed like every big stop had way more people than they were expecting.
Yeah. And it wasn't just in the U.S. It was all over the world.
Yeah. It was all over the world. You had big celebrities attending, too. I mean, you had Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains were there. Bunch of well-known people who are showing their support.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal and Jake were there.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Fonda, Ashley Judd, Helen Hunt, Kesha.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kesha there. You know, you've pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna performed on the main feed.
Mm.
She cursed, and that gave the people that wanted to write him off the ammo to invalidate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because Madonna said fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the tactic we're going to be seeing from their side. The argument, glass got broken, your protest is invalid.
Okay. That's been a constant. Just look at anybody that's women that are public figures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The second they do anything the slightest bit wrong, nope, lock her up. Get her out of here. Fuck.
Yeah.
And we also have to add, because it did technically happen during the Women's March, one lone, hooded, masked hero.
Yes.
Who spotted neo-Nazi scumbag Richard Spencer outside trying to start shit.
Mm.
Because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And he's, talking about, no, I'm not a neo-Nazi. Take me bullshit.
Hmm.
And then, remember, Richard Spencer, he has been on record at talking about wanting to, in his words, peacefully, ethnically cleanse the United States. He has openly advocated genocide, basically. And then as he is trying to explain what his pen was to a reporter, it was a little Pepe the Frog pen, our hero comes up aside and sucker punches him across the head.
Properly, like full follow through with the elbow and everything. It was beautiful.
He basically was having to try and shake it off for about half a block. And it's also believed that he got punched a second time the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Not entirely sure when that one happened, but that would make it even better.
Yeah.
I think the great thing is?
Yeah. And here's the other great thing.
Have you punched a Nazi today?
Yeah. No? Well, then you need to go and do so. And you know what the great thing is? Pretty much all the internet has basically agreed, fuck this guy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, punching Nazis, that's a very good use of our time.
There were a lot of people defending it.
Yeah, it's an old American tradition. Mm.
Lots of people defending the notion of using violence. It's like, we fought a whole war against this type of attitude.
Yeah.
Of trying are we to gonna... rid us of a whole race of people.
Yeah, why are we allowing, just sitting by and allowing it to happen on our streets? Yeah.
Which happens here because our country was basically built on white supremacy and slavery.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Just so anybody knows, as it has said, basically the internet in general has just said, we're okay with this.
Hmm.
Now you would also have the sort of wishy-washy liberals who'd show up and go, no, but if you punch them, then you become just as bad as the Nazis.
No, you retain the moral high ground by not being fucking Nazis.
Yeah.
And he's basically said he is afraid of going out in public.
Good!
Good. Which is the whole point.
Yes.
That's how you deal with Nazis.
You know, I mean, I talked before about the Battle of Cable Street on this on this show a while back. And I can tell you this, Oswald Mosley and his fascists never went back to the East End again after that happened.
Yeah.
And I love Trump's... Shocking. Tweets about the march.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell there's two of them. You can tell which one he wrote, which one he didn't. This one says, watched protests yesterday, but was under the impression that we just had an election! ! Why didn't these people vote? They probably did.
They did.
Celebs hurt cause badly.
Yeah, he lost the popular vote by 3 million or so.
Yeah.
A little while later. Vote.
Well, for the record, I just need to point out the thing about the 3 million votes. That is because we don't have runoff voting. So a good chunk of those votes are actually from, like, third-party stuff. Hmm. But even if you take that into account, she still won by, like, a good million. Hmm. So,
and people are like, well, if you take California out of it, Trump won. That's not how it works.
No,
California is a state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a country. You count all of them.
Yeah.
Can't you say, let's just exclude these ones where Trump didn't win? And look, he won.
Yeah.
And here's the tweet later on. Peaceful protests are a hallmark of our democracy. Even if I don't always agree, I recognize the right of people to express their views.
Hmm. That's totally didn't write that.
Yeah. And, oh, also because...
If that was actually symbolic of how Trump felt, then we would not be where we are right now.
Right.
Right. I also wanted to point out that on top of getting, you know, the people saying, hell yeah, screw this guy, and the wishy-washy liberals, I also got the dudes on the alt-right basically saying, well, this is just an example of how, quote-unquote, tolerant the left is. And my set is, you know what? Okay, so let me put it this way. Cracked.com, they had an article yesterday about, is it okay to punch Nazis now? It's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what I posted on that. I posted it. I got a good response. It said, should you punch Nazis? The answer is yes. You should punch Nazis. And you should keep punching. Keep punching until their face turns into a vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Feel bad about it? Don't. Because your grandfather and great-grandfather shot at them.
Hmm.
Yeah, we decided as a world that those views were not tolerant anymore.
Yeah.
But I like that between those two protest tweets on Trump, the one right in between them is about television ratings for the inauguration.
This shows you where his mind is.
There's your Trump sandwich. Here's... Yeah. The one he was forced to weed out. Here's his ratings, and here's his real thoughts on the...
And please understand, punching a Nazi is one of the most American things you could ever do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Captain America was punching Hitler before we even got into the war.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm sure there are Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck cartoons about punching Nazis.
Hmm.
Yes. I mean, there's a Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's basically kicking... Goering's ass. You know, this is as American as apple pie.
Yeah.
Go for it. And don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying that you should kill them or anything. That's for until the war starts. But
at the same time, if the American population just did decide to suddenly go Inglorious Bastards one day, yes. I'm not complaining.
Mm. No, I don't think anybody would. Mm. Except the Nazis.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. They aren't entitled to an opinion.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you see, because
by allying yourself to a man who helped mass murder 6 million plus people, you have officially foregone your humanity.
Yeah. So, whatever.
Waive your right to a vote at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yes, Richard Spencer is scared to go out, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
So if any of those other a-holes show themselves,
punch them too.
Yes, punch them too. Mm. And not necessarily even in the head either.
Do a little damage, you know?
You know?
Yeah.
Give him an old-fashioned, you know, judo throw. Learn some Aikido, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just, you know, just make some bruises, damn it. And also understand, and this is...
the thing to do.
Yeah, and also understand, most of the alt-right are paper tigers.
Yeah.
They talk a big game, but once you make it clear that, no, you're not scared of them, and you're also in no way scared of, you know, having their faces kiss your fist, well, you know, they pretty much fold and walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the better signs from this march is in the UK where... somebody wrote, in England, Trump means fart. Hashtag President Fart.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Maybe he's a listener to the show, because I've said that.
So, in other news, as we're going on to our show proper, Maynard James Keenan, who is, of course, most famously he's known as the front man for Tool, as well as A Perfect Circle, and right now, he's with a band called Pussifier, has said that the U.S. is long overdue for a fall.
Hmm.
So, who is that that put this on here?
Yeah, I put that on there.
Yeah. You're an evil commie liberal bastard. But
we're sure as hell flirting with it.
Yeah. I mean, he's contending. He's bringing up the Roman Empire. He's... citing a lot of historical examples of the stuff that's happened back then, and he's drawing parallels to what's happening now. You know, it's... I don't disagree with him, really.
Compared to a lot of what is being cited here, we haven't even really had that good of a run.
Hmm.
No.
Yeah, it's just...
So anybody who's curious why exactly the Roman Empire fell, and... there's been reams and reams of literature written about the subject, but it basically comes out to this. Outsourcing most of their labor, spreading their military too thin, and then eventually bimarcating the empire to be ruled by two different people.
Hmm.
We got two out of three.
Yeah, two out of three. Yeah. Well, military part, well, it's not really, not really that big of a problem right now. That's one thing you guys have a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump's trying to get the military together.
Yeah, he signed I'm not sure if it was one of his executive orders, but military spending is looking to be on the rise.
Yeah. Because...
Now, I do want to point something out just as on the bright side. Trump has been president for exactly 7 days now, and already the GOP is slowly tearing itself apart. And the one thing you have to remember is that for all of these executive orders, Trump has to go through Paul Ryan, who is currently the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
He's already neutered Paul Ryan.
Yeah. And then, of course, he also has to go through Lindsey Graham.
That might be a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham hates Donald Trump's gut.
Yeah. And has by no means been neutered by him.
No.
So that...
Yeah.
Want to say I saw something about Lindsey Graham talking about The Onion getting the scoop on important stories about him.
Yeah. Funny part is the Onion could make stuff up, and in about 10 days, it could actually turn into a true story.
Trump would make it news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been.
You would consider it a challenge.
Yeah.
And they've been largely turned into like a just future reporting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like how Teen Vogue is one of our best examples of journalism about the presidency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it says here that Kenan is planning on writing books in the future. I will gladly buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's two members of Tool that are, more into, different fields.
Yeah.
Their guitarist is also a filmmaker.
Yeah.
An artist. Stuff like that. But, okay.
Yeah. It's a good read. Just check it out. Whether you agree with them or not, it's worth checking.
Yeah. Hmm. So, moving on from there. So, there's this magazine, you may have heard of it, called The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around since around 1947. And their basic topic for the longest time has always been the possibility of total nuclear devastation.
Mm-hmm.
There, ever since, the first two bombs, and pretty much the only bombs we've ever used on other people, the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that ended World War II, they have been concerned about the possibility of yet another type of nuclear attack happening. Now, it's been about, let's say, 40, so a good 70, 80 years since those bombs were dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, 70. And we have not had another nuclear attack happen again.
Hmm.
We've had some close calls. And the way that the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists have had as to sort of symbolize how close they feel we are to total devastation is a graphic they've created called the Doomsday Clock.
Hmm.
And it basically represents from the last quarter of the clock. So it's 9 o'clock to midnight.
Yeah.
And depending on how close the hour hand is always on 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute hand, depending on how close or how far away it is from midnight, is how close they think we are to a serious global crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That could result in complete devastation.
Yeah.
There have only been two times, the closest it's ever gotten since the magazine was started was 2 minutes to midnight.
Hmm.
The first one happened during the Cuban Missile Crisis. That was it was when Kennedy was president.
Yeah.
So, and, stuff was getting really intense. And then it basically moved back and forth since then. It went, after Kennedy, we got, Nixon, we got, LBJ, and then Nixon and Carter, et cetera. Well, and then, with Nixon, it actually kind of went back for a little while because we opened trade relations with China.
Yeah.
And then when the Soviet Union collapsed, it basically went all the way back to 15 minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist announced that once again, the clock is now 2 minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
And Trump has only been president for 7 goddamn days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're almost to an Iron Maiden song.
Yep.
This is not... Now, I should point out that starting around the new millennium, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist also started adding climate change into the bundle of scenarios they have that determines how close the minute hand is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're even more fucked.
Yeah. Like, we're at a crisis point and we need to do something about it.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen with this administration.
No.
Which is why I seriously am starting to doubt that he's going to be there.
Yeah.
This time next year.
Yeah. Presidents can be impeached. Just ask the president of South Korea.
Yeah. And just for the record, I need to point out, impeachment, though it can be done, it does take a little while. Because first you got to have articles of impeachment debated in the House. The House has to agree, and then they have to send it up to the Senate, and then the Senate has to sort of have a trial. And if they find it, them defense is to be liable, then the president is removed from their position immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Last time it happened here in the U.S. was, of course, with Clinton.
Yeah.
And they only got as far as the Senate stage when it was turned down.
Mm.
So, yeah. And keep in mind, the Republicans control both the House and the Senate right now.
Yeah. So.
So.
Joy. At least for 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're at the 2 minutes to midnight Iron Maiden song. Hopefully we don't get to Where the Wild Wind Blows.
Yeah, and we don't kill the unborn in the womb and using them to boil the war machine. And
yeah. So.
Lyrics.
Yeah.
So we mentioned earlier also that there was a bunch of abortion stuff going up, and it's apparently gotten so bad now that both the Netherlands and apparently Canada
and about 18 other countries.
Yeah. Are discussing getting together and creating an international abortion fund for people in the United States who would need it.
Yeah. And of course, these abortions would have to be done, you know, overseas. So
yeah, and they're willing to help
with that.
Yeah,
it's an international GoFundMe.
Peace. Yeah.
So CNN. The Dutch government says it wants to help set up an international abortion fund to help families across the world. After U.S. President Donald Trump reinstated the so-called Mexico City policy. So, basically, yeah, with this one move, he has pissed off so many groups and politicians all over the planet.
Yeah. And this is just the stuff that we're talking about in public. You got 20 countries... releasing this kind of information in public. Imagine what they're still talking about behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Not looking good.
Yeah, and
it's only been a week.
Yeah. As Netherlands, it's already getting talked about up in Phil's corner of the world. Mm-hmm. I am not being surprised if it's getting a bunch of support up there as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Prime Minister Trudeau would be all over it.
Yep.
This is the part where I joke about wanting Canada to invade the U.S. just so they could annex us.
Yeah. And the funny part is the more it goes, it actually might end up happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
At least long enough for us to prove we can be sovereign again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Need some adult supervision down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to think maybe a nice little old-fashioned military coup.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was talking to my friend today, and he was basically saying, something's going to happen very soon. There's a lot of people now who are very, very much... sick of what's going on, and the more that this stuff gets pushed, it's gonna, you know, he likened it to how an atomic reaction happens. Trump may very well be the atom that causes the reaction.
Yeah. And You know, I would not be surprised. Okay, so there are actually two ways. For those who don't know, there's actually two ways to get the president out of office. The first one is impeachment. The other is actually in our Constitution. It's amendment.
It's a process too.
Yeah, it's Amendment 25, Section 4.
Hmm.
And basically, the vice president and the others have to agree that they believe that the president is, for whatever reason, unfit to carry on his duties.
Yeah. No. Given who the vice president and the rest of the staff is, I don't see that one as being very likely.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's not like getting rid of Trump solves all of our problems.
No.
No. But it does help solve one big one.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I think it was Olbermann who was saying yesterday that if push came to shove, we could deal with Pence for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And deal with
dealing
that.
Dealing with Pence would basically mean that we just end up dealing with George W. Bush again. And
yeah. Congress can, you know, the liberals in Congress can play defense, but you can pretty much trust that he's not going to get us all killed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
And, yeah.
God, I actually miss George W. Bush.
Yeah.
How sad,
I mean,
is
keep,
it when
keep
you have
Darth
to say
Cheney
that?
Away, but.
Darth Cheney, yeah.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter about Dick Cheney even thinks Trump's Muslim ban is against everything we stand for. When you're going over Dick Cheney's lines.
When Dick Cheney is telling you you need to chill.
You really, really fucked something up.
Yeah. Did you see him at the inauguration with his cowboy hat? He looked like the fucking penguin with the cowboy hat.
I did not, but that's...
I'll have to look up an image for you.
Okay, so...
He's right behind Bush, and it's like, if you...
I saw Bush with a poncho.
Yeah,
right behind him was Dick Cheney and fucking cowboy hat making smirks at him.
And, okay, and so, just, I know it's later down in the show notes, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up now, so we can sort of bring the more serious part of the show to a close.
Yeah.
Recently, a new organization was started up by a group of individuals called the Justice Democrats.
Hmm.
This is basically the Bernie-crat wing of the Democratic Party.
Hmm.
And their sole reason for existing is to get rid of the neoliberal wing of the Democratic Party, replace it with real progressives, and then do the other big thing, which was get money out of politics.
Hmm.
Count me in.
Bernie has more or less given his go ahead to it.
Yeah, and there's some interesting names involved in this too.
Yeah, Cenk Uygur for one. Also known as, you know, who has his other organization, Wolfpack. There's also Jimmy Dore also signed on. Pretty much all the TYT people have signed
no
on
surprise.
For it.
Yeah.
So who else? Say, we've got I also love how Cory Booker has sort of become the face of the corrupt corporate Democrat. Calling him Booker the Hooker. So what names have we got? Alright, so what other names have we got associated with it?
Let's see. Last time I looked at this was when I added it to the
thing with Bush wrestling with his poncho.
Yeah, Dick Cheney's right behind him in that.
Yeah.
I would have to...
Yeah, well, it's not a big deal, but the point is...
It's a topic we'll be touching on in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, and...
we'll be hearing more about from them, for sure.
Yeah. So basically, the two major parties in the U.S. are now in the middle of an inter-party civil war.
Yeah.
The Trump wing of the Republican Party is at war with the old school wing of the Republican Party, and the neoliberal wing of the Democratic Party is now at war with the progressive wing.
I'm not even sure there is a Trump wing of the Republican Party. There's just the the opportunists who know that they've got a useful idiot in the White House who will sign anything they put on his desk.
Yeah. But we got the organization linked in the show notes. Please go show your support, because we get to vote on who gets in the Congress in 2 years. Yeah. And
it's what, every rep is up for vote?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of the Senate?
Yeah.
Yep. And we can do it. Remember, there was a lot of Trump supporters who also liked a lot of what Bernie Sanders was saying.
Yeah.
You can get the heartland to vote Democrat again.
Yeah.
It can happen. It used to happen before, especially in the Rust Belt. Then Bill Clinton signed NAFTA, and they haven't forgiven him for it all these years later.
Yeah.
And everyone else has been paying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
So we're looking at that, and that therefore closes the serious part of the show. Okay.
Whew. Well, we got now, that out of our systems.
Yeah.
Okay, now to the more entertainment stuff. First of all, sad celebrity deaths. We had the first one of the year.
Yep.
Mary Tyler Moore sadly passed on. She was 80 years old.
Yeah, one of the first big sort of strong women on TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, it's sad. She helped sort of pave the way for a lot of the, you know, stuff like Golden Girls and Designing Women and all the sort of single women's focused sitcom stuff more or less started with her.
Yeah.
So she basically started a precedent in television that has not stopped.
No.
So it's sad to see her go. Moving on from there, Pixar has more or less, though not directly confirmed, that one of the wildest internet theories of all time may or may not be true, being that all of their movies do in fact take place in the same universe. So if you go to that link, what they have is that the only difference between them is that, well, what's going on is if you go to the link and you look at the video they've got, they're showing how a collection, this is from Disney themselves, well, Pixar, which is part of Disney, but Pixar themselves showing clearly that they're showing a handful of examples of when their movies overlap with each other. So, like, things like the Pizza Planet truck, stuff like that. Now
yeah, the girl from what's the recent movie with the motions?
Oh, hang on, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she was in this Finding Dory, Inside Out.
Yeah,
it's like stuff like that.
Yeah,
there's the occasionally, you'll also see stuff like and you'll also see various like stuffed animal versions of like the characters from Toy Story or something showing up somewhere.
Yeah.
So just in general, it's something that for a long time had just been sort of considered to be like, yeah, you know how, guys who work on movie directors, they'll throw in little shout outs to other movies from like the same studio. Like everybody knows if you watch, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you'll see the hieroglyphs that have 3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how a lot of people for a long time thought that was how it was supposed to work. But apparently Disney is caught on.
Now they're doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Star Wars.
So you got these weird things where, like, Good Dinosaur obviously takes place first, and Wally is last. Cars takes place later on because all the people are gone.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's like just weird, crazy things to think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible they're just trolling?
Yeah, it's also very completely possible.
Yeah.
This is Pixar we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And his name is John Lasseter. So, speaking of Star Wars, we found out recently the the full name for the next big Star Wars Episode 8,
yep.
The Last Jedi.
Yep, it's a name, all right.
Yep. And then Episode 9, no, wait, we found another Jedi.
Return of the Jedis.
Mm.
Yeah, that's already a thing.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
Revenge of the Jedi.
No, that's what Return of what it's Sith. Supposed to have been called.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they make good on that.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean Luke Skywalker is going to die?
Probably.
Well, Han's dead.
Yep.
Spoilers.
Well, we know something.
And unfortunately, Chris Leia will be dead too.
Yeah, there's no way around that.
So
that's going to change.
Unless Chewbacca starts suddenly levitating shit.
Mm. Well, speaking twist. Of people on the way out, Peter Mayhew's not doing so great.
No.
Yeah. Hell. Well.
Yeah,
but, you know, at least the series is in good hands now. So,
yeah,
and by that, I mean away from George Lucas forever and ever.
Yeah. They're going to have to do some very creative script reworking to, take care of Princess Leia, but we'll figure it out.
Dude, this is Disney talking about.
She already finished her work on this one, from what I heard.
Yeah. But she was supposed to be in the third,
too.
To
add on to that.
Yeah. So.
Remember, though, this is the Walt Disney Corporation route. If they had to reanimate Carrie Fisher's corpse, they would do it. And they could afford it anytime it's over.
Yeah, they've said they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this isn't like Tron where you just make Jeff Bridges young again.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, in other news of a currently extending franchise, so those who don't know, the newest movie in the Rings, or in the Ring franchise. Who here has seen the original movie?
The Ring? Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. The Ring, also Ringu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both good movies. The series is still ongoing, and let's face it, that chick still scares the crap out of me.
As she should.
Well, so they set up, so in order to promote the movie, they set up a scenario where Samara, yeah, that's her.
Mm.
Crawls out of a TV to scare customers in an electronic store.
Mm.
Is she the adaptation of Sadako, I suppose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
And holy shit, that's freaky. I don't play with demons.
Yeah, there's a nice video of them just setting up a bunch of people for this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is the greatest way to promote your movie.
I think it's an amazing way to promote
the only
it.
Way.
And the neat thing is they set up this nice enough illusion that it looks real.
Yeah.
I mean, technically it is real. She is actually crawling out of the TV, but it's an illusion.
Yeah.
I wonder when she's about to come out, they have like the other TVs playing weird Ring stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that one TV opens up and she crawls out of it.
Yeah. I want to see the customer.
That's the best opportunity that they. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the customer who goes through this experience and he's like, I want that TV.
Sold.
We have a movie we'd like you to watch.
I'm just thinking it's a huge missed opportunity that they didn't sell Persona 4 the same way in Japan.
Yeah, but then it would be Teddy. And instead of running away scared, there'd just be an ungodly amount of assault and battery charges.
That's true.
Yeah.
Coming from the guy who's in the Teddy suit.
It's true.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, recently James Cameron, who is apparently currently still in production of Avatar 2.
Yeah.
That movie's going to come out
eventually
at some point. And it will never, ever make its money back.
Nope.
Well, that's what they said about the first one.
Hmm.
Yeah, the thing is, you have to remember James Cameron has the two top grossing films of all time.
Yeah.
Literally, like, he had Titanic, and then he topped it with Avatar. And, I really am not sure if he can pull it off again, but, let's be honest, I liked Avatar when it came out, but it didn't really have the type of pop cultural impact that Titanic had.
No.
Titanic had a song that was so popular that you could literally cook an egg in the amount of time it would come on the radio.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Then it was probably one of the biggest.
Yeah, it's your. I forget Celine Dion is from. I forgot Celine Dion is from Quebec.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is your fault. But so yeah, James Cameron has said that he's actually looking to return to the Terminator franchise to either reboot or conclude it.
Good.
Yeah, because ain't nobody else been able to do it.
Either way, he's going to save it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because he's coming up on the 35th anniversary of that, and that's when he potentially gets the rights back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. Cameron directed the first two Terminator movies.
Yeah.
Both of which still hold up very well. Even Terminator 2, which... God, that movie is... That movie came out in, like, what? Like
94?
91,
92?
Yeah.
And the CG still looks amazing.
Yeah.
Probably helps that you pretty much only have one CG thing, really.
Yeah. Have one effect.
But do it extremely well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that in Jurassic Park, like, somehow hold up real well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, let's see, he's done those two, and how many Terminator movies have there been since Judgment Day?
Three more.
There's three.
Three too many?
Yeah.
It was Terminator 3, there was Salvation, and then there was Genesis.
Yeah, Salvation.
So there's been three movies since then, and every single one of them has been shit.
And a TV show.
Yeah.
Again, shit.
Man, it was average.
I kind of like three. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was stupid as hell, but it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's pretty obvious by now that only James Cameron is going to be able to give this franchise any dignity again.
Yeah. Wonder who you get to play the Terminator, though. I mean, Arnie, he's getting up in years.
Well, apparently this is going to be like a conclusion to the series.
So I guess you could do it.
They call it a reboot slash conclusion.
Yeah.
Directed by Tim Miller of Deadpool fame.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I guess at this point, Skynet says, this Terminator program shit isn't really working out. I need to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, our penultimate quick little segment of the night. Bill, you're the tech guy here, so you're going to have to back me up on this one.
Yeah.
So, who here, do any guys actually collect old arcade cabinets?
Well, Pat's got a couple. Yeah.
Okay, so people who have been, you know, collecting arcade cabinets, they know... it is a expensive and laborious hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The cabinets themselves cost god-awful amounts of money. And that's
hell.
I think the games themselves could be the more costly portion of the investment.
Yeah. Well, and then that's even including if all the parts are working correctly. There's you often have to replace a part.
Yeah.
A lot of parts.
Don't I know it.
Because those motherboards, they don't hold up that well.
Yeah.
Same with the monitors.
Well, they're great unless you break a fucking pin. like my dumb ass did.
So, see, here's the thing. So you got all those problems, but there's one thing. One little bitty thing that has been the absolute bane of vintage arcade collectors forever.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's all that problem with moving with part stuff getting either just too old to work or they just need to be replaced. You know, shit like that. And that's bad enough. But that's not necessarily something that's damn near universal.
Mm.
You know, that's just on a case-by-case basis. But there is this one thing that so many old school arcade cabinets have that has been just a thorn in the ass of every arcade collector for generations now. The little gadget that's usually on the motherboard that is colloquially called the suicide battery.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, this thing has an actual technical name. Let me just look it up real quick. But, yeah, so what it's called is the... Hold on, let's see. So, I'm having a problem finding what the actual technical name for this thing.
Yeah, well, that's probably because a lot of different boards have different terms for this.
But basically what you need to know is that it was a battery that was attached to the motherboard, and it took different forms. Sometimes it was like a big, like, you know, round cylindrical battery. Sometimes it was the flat kind.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the game manufacturers, Capcom, Namco,
Sega did it, Konami did
Sega.
It, Midway. Oh, wow.
And here's what this thing does. This battery, because it is a battery, will eventually run out of juice. And when it runs out of juice, the motherboard dies. The game.
Yeah, the motherboard dies because that battery was powering a small chunk of memory which contains a decryption key for basically to decrypt the ROMs the board. Without that key, the board can't boot.
Nope. So if at some point this battery runs out of juice, that's it.
Yep.
Sega
were real assholes about this one.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only did they do a suicide battery, they did it inside of a custom package.
Yeah. And Capcom were pretty much the, other than Sega, Capcom were the other big ones. And
Capcom did it on the CPS2. Theirs actually weren't so bad. They're just a battery that you could actually desolder and solder in a new one.
And fortunately, there are places that, you know, sell replacements for these things.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah. Well, to replace it.
I'm probably going to have mine get worked on at some point.
Yeah. The Capcom one is weird because it's actually an off-the-shelf battery, but it's in a form factor that I don't think anybody has ever heard of before. It's a half double A.
Yeah.
You have to go to a battery specialty store to pick them up.
Specialty store. And if you're going to replace it, you have to make sure that your current board still has some charge left in it to keep that key in there. Although nowadays that's actually not necessary anymore. So
Yeah,
we covered that story on the Day Zero update a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So just for references, we might as well go ahead and put these in the show notes too. Here's a picture of a Hitachi model for a Sega machine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice it's the flat model.
Yeah.
And then there's this one, which I'm pretty sure is the Capcom one.
I'll know in a second.
Well, shit, hold on. I gotta get the other. Damn it, Google. here we go. It's also a Hitachi. I'm guessing Hitachi were just the general company that manufactured these things.
Yeah, well, they make batteries and chips.
They do a lot of that
stuff, so. Yeah, that's,
Hold on. I need to get
I see some Capcom ones on there.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get the
oh, there it is. Yeah. That's Capcom.
Yeah. That's what
Capcom this one. Uses. So. This one right here, the big red one.
Yeah, that's a half
that's
double
the Capcom.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know. So, this needs to beg the question, why exactly did they put these things on there to begin with?
DRM.
Digital rights management.
Yep. See, Capcom and all these companies, they didn't like people bootlegging their arcade boards.
Yeah, which is understandable.
And around the time, Capcom had a lot of experience with people bootlegging their arcade boards.
Yeah. Street Fighter 2 was
remember,
one of the most bootlegged
games. By the way, their stuff is very, you know, back in the 80s and especially early 90s, Copies and bootlegs of a lot of these classic arcade games were just notorious. And everywhere, and very easily accessible, too. I remember, you know, the bowling alley we used to have down here. They had a what was ostensibly a Pac-Man machine, but was in reality the bootleg version with the fish and octopus. So, yeah, that shit was... It's very easy to copy that shit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess the idea that they would put something that would kill the... basically kill the motherboard so that nobody could copy it makes sense.
Yeah. And it was also to, also kind of to build in to force some obsolescence. Yeah.
So basically eventually these things, I'm guessing if this batteries that they use, if since it was on a machine that was running, you know, since I mean this is a machine that would, if it would be in like a arcade or a bowling alley or a pizza shop or something, it would basically be running all day.
Yeah.
And then turn off when they close the place at night.
Yeah.
So if we were to factor that in, how long would this battery actually last?
Well, those batteries can last several years. I think, you know, 10 or more.
Yeah.
You know,
6 years ago when I got my CPS2 games, they were stock.
Yeah.
So, and these were games that came out in the mid-90s. Yeah. So one was 94 and the other was 96. Yeah. So,
and you've got
they've
two
got legs.
Yeah, and you've got two of the boards that are you actually want to keep going because, yeah, they're kind of desirable.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if they were paperweights now.
Yeah.
But like I said at the top of the segment, I've probably got to get them worked on.
Yeah.
But, you know, in time I will.
Yeah.
In time I'll get the cabinet itself back up and running. Mm.
Mm. All right, then. So, Questioner,
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Street Fighter Alpha 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically our little warning to anyone who has been thinking about it or... is starting up on that little hobby. This is just a little warning to let you be prepared because,
you're gonna run into this issue. Fortunately, there's a really big community of people who are in the same boat as you and have taken steps to make sure that you don't run into that. There's people that make replacements for these now, so
For reasonable
now that
prices.
I've actually gotten into. Now that I've actually gotten into it as far as I have, my word of advice to anyone who's thinking of getting into buying arcade machines is to start with the Neo Geo.
Yeah.
Start with the MVS. There's no suicide battery to worry about.
No, there is a battery on board.
Cartridges.
There is a battery, but it's not there for that reason.
No, it's there just to save settings, which, you know, it's actually worthwhile to change. Because otherwise it will start leaking all over your board. Yeah, that's bad news. So,
yeah.
So.
All right. So, shall we? I guess we'll go ahead and do this then.
Well, we're already at 2 hours, so
maybe
it's best we save the DCN
for
next
week.
For next week. Okay then. Well, in that case, I do believe we have a show, and I still need to go over this anyway. So. We can have our discussion because looks like there's some interesting stuff in this one. For those of you who are wanting to know what it is on archive.org. It is the second issue of the official Dreamcast magazine.
Yep.
Take a look at it at your leisure, and we will be discussing it next week. Also, I'd like to remind everybody who is listening, if you want to write into the show, you know, call us a bunch of evil commie liberals or something or other.
Yeah.
We're okay with that, and we will completely read it on the air.
Yeah.
We're okay with that. We welcome your scorn. you can write in at letsweekenders@gmail.com. We will also be able to have it on the show notes. Also remember, you can listen to us on iTunes, on a bunch of other places.
Yep.
I can never, ever remember all of them.
Tune in, Google Play. Just get download Pocket Cast for your phone. We're there. It's the best podcast app anyway. So,
yeah. So, With all that being said, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. We're happy that you listened to us today. And for all of us, to you, we would like to say good night. And do yourself a favor and go out and punch your local Nazi. That's a beat we can all dance to.